All right, thank you for joining, everybody. Today we're here to talk a little bit about identity. And I'm not sure if it's just because I now work in this space, but I've become pretty acutely aware of how important identity is in today's world. We're constantly trying to define our own identities and understand who we are, myself included. And people are fairly concerned with protecting their identities as well. But before you make a break for the door, this isn't going to be a presentation on identity theft protection. Don't worry, I'm not a sales rep from LifeLock. Today we're going to talk about something even more boring, which is the identity experiences within your applications. When I refer to identity experiences, I'm talking about a number of different things. People use different terms to describe these flows. I like to use identity experiences. People refer to it as authentication, user management, profile management, account management. That's probably a few other terms that you might like to use within your own teams. And while most developers might think of these features or flows in their applications as kind of mundane and annoying to implement, it's kind of something you have to redo over and over again in your applications time and time again. I think these experiences can be really the key to unlocking a lot of value in your applications, and there's a few reasons why. For one, in tech, there's always widespread competitions, and in an industry where the revenue you can bring in per customer is pretty much driven to an equilibrium, the name of the game for a lot of startups and enterprises alike is to drive the cost of customer acquisition down to a minimum. So ISVs, SaaS vendors, are really motivated to eliminate any hurdles in getting new users into their application and on their way to finding value. They want to lickety-split get you into your applications and finding out what it is that it does. So a lot of apps like Slack here have taken to putting the sign-up and sign-in forms right on the homepage of their applications, and you can see the same pattern in Evernote and GitHub and a lot of different applications. So the sign-in and sign-up experiences are often the very first thing that your users will see when they come to your applications. It's a really good opportunity to make a good impression on your users right off the bat, and I guess an equally good opportunity to make a poor impression on your users right off the bat. I don't know how many times I've downloaded an app. I read about something on Product Hunt. I've downloaded the app and on my phone, and I said, you know what, let me give this a try, and I'm presented first thing with a 5-field sign-up form, and I go, that looks kind of hard to do on my phone. Let me try that later on my laptop when I have a full keyboard, and guess what, I never go back. So really making these sign-up, sign-in, profile management experiences slick, I think, is really important for modern applications. Another reason is that apps are so intensely personalized today. Creating a personalized experience for the user begins with having a strong foundational understanding of who they are and what makes them tick. And I think the sign-up and sign-in experiences can really be a key to understanding your users. And then lastly, it's more important now than ever, I think, to protect the personally identifiable information of your users and show your users how you're using their data, secure their data at rest and on the wire. And users are rightfully so hypersensitive to how their identity information is shared today. So I think it's our responsibility as Microsoft and as developers to make sure that we give users the tools they need to protect themselves in the modern application world. I'm Danny. I'm a PM from Microsoft. I work on the Microsoft Identity Services, you could call them. There's a couple different ones, and I'll talk about each today. Really, the mission of my team and our division is to build the best identity service for developers on the planet. So before we get started, we have a small enough audience where I wanted to take a quick survey, if that's okay, if you'll humor me for a second. I'm going to assume that it's a Xamarin conference. Most people build mobile apps, or at least thinking about it. Do we all build web applications as well, professionally? Yeah, okay, I assume that was the case. Does anybody build non-applications, like tools or SDKs or plugins? Any of those in the audience? A couple, cool. Any other pieces of software that I'd be missing? Okay, I didn't think so. Well, I'm very happy to have you, and I think our services, our identity services, are applicable to mobile, web developers alike, and especially applicable to Xamarin developers. I'm kind of new to Xamarin. What I know about Xamarin, I learned from building apps on the weekends and in my spare time. So I'm here to learn as much from people who have really played around with the platform as much as I am to inform about our services. So we have a couple different services, but they are basically all just federated identity. And I'll apologize in advance if this is the basics for you guys, but sometimes it helps to understand the basics again. And the way federated identity really works is you have your applications, iOS, Android, Windows, whatever it may be. And instead of collecting usernames and passwords in your apps, you direct the user to some service. And today it's likely a cloud service. It could be Google. Has anybody ever used Google login before in an application? Yeah, awesome. So those experiences with Google and Facebook login as well will be directly applicable to using our services. They're both just OAuth providers at the end of the day, if you're familiar with OAuth. And it could be Microsoft as well. When you direct the user to log in, the user will then present some credentials to the service, a username, password, a smart card. They might do multi-factor authentication with their phone, depending on whatever the security settings of that account are at that time. And then the after authentication, the service, let's call it an identity provider service, or an IDP to be technical, returns some sort of security token to the application. That security token can be used to log the user into the application, to get some information about the user, and to reliably verify that the user is who they say they are based on some trust relationship that's been set up between the applications and that IDP. There's a lot of benefits to federated login. For one, the user has fewer passwords and usernames to remember. They get to reuse their existing credentials that they might use at work, for Facebook, for Google, across many different apps, and they don't have to remember that password for your app in particular. And then similarly, there's no passwords for your app to protect. Passwords are, and credentials are really a real attack target these days. And if you don't think that your application in particular might have some valuable data that hackers would be interested in, I'll let you in on a little dirty secret in the identity world. People reuse their passwords. I know I'm guilty of it. So a common attack vector we've seen is that hackers will go find some relatively insecure applications, get the credentials from those small little backyard garage applications, and then replay them against big services like banks and so on. So even if you're building a tiny little application on the weekend, protecting your credentials for your users is an important thing. And by using a federated login service, you get out of that business entirely. In today's world with OAuth, often you can also use this security token to talk to some online hosted service. If you're using Facebook login, you're probably talking to the Facebook graph. If you're using Google login, you might be talking to some Google APIs. If you're using Microsoft, it's likely that you're talking to the Microsoft graph or Office 365 APIs. So that's basically, at a high level, how federated login works. At Microsoft, we've been in the federated identity business for quite a long time. In the early 2000s, the state of the art was a thing called Active Directory that I'm sure many people are familiar with. And if you used Active Directory for login, you probably used a service called ADFS to federate with the on-premise directory for each of your customers. And the way this would really work from a business perspective is that you would acquire a new customer, bring them on board, and then either the customer or yourself or some contractor would be hired to configure your application to work with the on-prem instance of Active Directory. And that worked pretty well for a while. But as the cloud and mobile started to be more popular, and really subscription-based software started to become more popular, that process didn't really scale. So as you added more and more customers, each time you brought on a new customer, it required you to either write some extra code to integrate with their instance of Active Directory, or write some sort of configuration management where an admin could come in and set up some values in a config file and hook up their IDP to your application. And over time, that just became pain for SaaS vendors who are trying to move very quickly in market. And they also required maintenance. So after you set up these connections between your app and the IDPs, you would have to maintain them over time. You'd have to roll certificates that are shared between the app and the IDP. You would have to make sure that as updates are made to the IDP, that the app is updated as well. And so it became quite a headache. So what we went and did was create this thing called Azure Active Directory. And this is the first of the services I'll talk about today. Has anybody heard of Azure AD before? Lots. Awesome. So for all you guys, I'm sorry about the last slide. It's too easy. Azure AD is basically just a projection of Active Directory into the cloud. We added a bunch of features in Azure AD to make it cloud ready. And we provided a way for our Microsoft customers of Active Directory to migrate to the cloud from on-premises via a tool called AAD Connect, and they can also have a hybrid setup if they wish. What this means for developers is that instead of interacting with every single IDP of your customers, you interface with a single system called Azure AD. You write your code once, you perform a single integration, and you can have access to every single one of these customers. As opposed to having to set up custom code for each one, instead, you can sign up new customers and get your apps provisioned into the directories at the click of a single button. It's a much better story, and I'll show you exactly what it looks like in just a second. So Azure AD is a identity management as a service offering for organizations. IT admins use it to do the things that they would do with Active Directory. They use it to manage their users, their groups, their applications, access management, security policies, so on and so forth. It's a multi-tenanted system. You can kind of think of it as a conglomeration of millions of individual IDPs in the cloud, where each IDP is segregated from the others and data is not shared between the two. A tenant in Azure AD represents a set of employees or an organization, basically an instance of Active Directory on-premise. It's for IT admins and for developers alike. It's actually free for developers. It's just like Facebook login or Google login for work. It's a free service. It's just another IDP. Our business model is to charge IT admins for additional features in managing their users, their groups, their applications, and so on. So it's absolutely free for you folks in the room here. I think about our Active Directory customers, developer customers, in two buckets, and I'm curious to see which one you guys might fall into. One is SaaS developers. We think of these as people who are building applications that they then sell to other companies, and those companies use the applications. And the core functionality of your business might be to build these applications. As opposed to enterprise developers who typically work for an IT staff, build applications for consumption by their own employees, and the function of their business is not to build those applications necessarily, but they perform some other function. So by show of hands, who considers themselves an enterprise developer first and foremost? Cool. An ISV or SaaS, anybody? Awesome, wow, pretty even split, that's great. So Azure AD is a great service for both. Whether you're trying to target every single customer in the Azure AD system, or you're just trying to target the employees of your organization that use Azure AD, the programming model and the benefits that I've described so far are exactly the same. Azure AD has over 7 million tenants in Active Directory today. Not all of those are active. Those are just the objects in the system, similarly with the 500 million users mark. We do perform 1 billion authentications every single day. And the reason these numbers are so large is because Azure AD is the identity provider for Office 365. You can't use any other IDP to log into O365. You have to use Azure AD. And so as Office 365, excuse me, has grown over the past few years, Azure AD has grown with it, and we experienced a lot of great growth on the back of Office 365. This is sort of what Azure AD looks like. If you haven't seen it before, this is the Azure Management Portal, the classic Azure Management Portal. We're moving to the new portal eventually, but for now, this is where developers and IT admins alike will come to manage their applications, their users, their configurations, and so on. I'll draw your attention to the top here. That's where the main functionality is. And there's a particular tab, you might not be able to see, but there's a tab called Reports there, which is pretty cool and highlights a nice benefit of using Azure AD. Here in the top section, we have the anomalous activity reports, which are basically reports that we can show and alerts that we can fire whenever we suspect suspicious behavior in Azure AD. So we have the benefit of a huge amount of signal and login signal from not only your application, but every single application in the Microsoft ecosystem and every single user in the Microsoft ecosystem. So we have the ability and we have entire teams of people that are writing machine learning algorithms to understand the patterns that attackers might take when they try to invade our system. And we can provide some interesting features. One of my favorites is the impossible travel scenario. So if Danny logs in from Orlando today and in an hour he's logging in from back home in Seattle, that's kind of a red flag. We might want to throw an alert to the admin. Another cool example is we have this feature called conditional access that you may have heard of. There's a feature in conditional access which basically allows us to calculate a risk score based on hundreds of parameters that come in on a given authentication request. And you can configure your risk score such that if, say, it's higher than a 7, You're going to ask the user for multi-factor authentication. You're going to ask the user to answer some security questions, or maybe you'll block them entirely. So there's some really, really cool features that we've introduced into our system that help protect your users. And I doubt anybody here or wants to or should have to go and implement a impossible travel algorithm themselves. So let us do it for you and just use us for login. So I can quickly show Azure AD in action. For those of you who are familiar with it, this will be fantastically boring. But it'll be quick. So I'll go to, I have a fake SaaS app that we created for actually a different conference, but it's a nice demonstration of Azure AD in action. This is my fake to-do list SaaS app. I come here as a new customer and I think, hey, this is something I want to try out. So let me enter my work credentials. This is a fake user that I created. And we can do a lookup into the Azure AD system to discover whether or not the domain of that email address might exist in the Azure AD system. And here we discovered that it did. So we can show them a nice button which says, hey, sign up with your work or school account. And that's a creative way of saving real estate in your app while still having Azure AD login. You click. We can pre-fill the username and password form on the Azure AD login page with the email address. You can complete the authentication. And here we have what we call the consent screen. This is kind of similar to what you might have seen on Facebook, where you say, like, the app needs permission to read your friends list and post on your behalf and know the name of your first kid and all this stuff. So this is our version of that page. This is our consent screen. This app in particular is asking to sign you in and to read the user's profiles in your directory. This is that one-click sign-up that I was referring to. So as soon as I click accept here, I'm into the application. The application has been provisioned into my directory, and my admin can now manage it and apply policies to it. So that's the power of Azure AD. Rather than having to go set up a new customer with custom config, you can actually sign in at the click of a single button. And of course, my SaaS app is throwing an error, but that's the end of that demo, so thank God. So let me switch back here. That's Azure AD. That's what it looks like. And I think we had a pretty good understanding of Azure AD already in the room, but if that's cool for everyone, I'll probably change gears a little bit here. Who here builds applications that primarily target organizations and businesses? Does anybody build apps that target consumers? Oh, wow, that actually surprises me. That's awesome. Anybody build a single app that targets both business and consumers? A few, cool. So we're making some nice investments to help those folks as well. Azure AD has been around for 3 years now. It continues to grow. It's a great solution for many developers, but we really discovered that there were two primary scenarios that Azure AD made sense for developers. One was if you had an existing application with a set of customers that wanted to log in with their Office 365 or their Azure AD credentials, you could add Azure AD to your app, use it for login as an add-on, and everything would be hunky-dory. The problem there is that you also have to write all the code to do identity management for all the users that aren't Azure AD customers. So you end up writing twice the code anyway. And then the other set of developers that Azure AD really made sense for were people that were extending Office 365. So if you're writing a plugin for Outlook or a service that consumes our REST APIs, Azure AD really made sense because by default, every user of yours is already a customer of Microsoft. So that really made sense. So there's a set of Microsoft customers that you can reach with Azure AD. But there's also a set of customers out there that you want to reach that have different on-prem or cloud directories other than Azure AD. And then there's also even a set of business customers that might not even use a cloud directory or a directory whatsoever. They might just use their personal accounts to log into their applications. You can think of these as like the small businesses. These squares are not the scale, by the way. This would be pretty generous if or pretty conservative from the Microsoft standpoint here. There's also a set of consumer customers that you might want to reach for the few people here that target both business and consumers. We do have a service that you can use to target consumers with Microsoft. It's called Microsoft Accounts or Live ID or Windows Live ID. You might be familiar with it. It's what you use to log into like MSDN and OneDrive. But not every user has a Microsoft account or wants a Microsoft account. They want to use their Facebook credentials, their Google credentials, a different type of account they might have. Or they might not have any of those accounts at all, and they just want to create a username and password with your application. This is kind of the spectrum of users that we think developers want to target and what we learned from talking to people. And we realized that with Microsoft's account and with Azure AD, we're really only addressing the ends of the spectrum. There's a whole chunk of users in the middle that developers were trying to target but couldn't with our systems. So as developers are very, very innately good at, they pointed out this flaw in our strategy, and we had to come up with a solution for it. So we're introducing now Azure AD B2C. Azure AD B2C is an extension of Azure AD. It's a set of identity features that we're building on top of the existing infrastructure that we have in Azure AD that allows you to target that gray matter in the middle of that spectrum. It's a SKU of our service, and we added a few features to make it viable for consumer applications and organizational applications alike. One thing that we added was this concept of a mega tenant. That's why that cloud there is extraordinarily big. Mega tenants, you can think of a tenant in Azure AD as maybe having thousands of objects, thousands of users. There's not really any organizations on the planet that scale into the hundreds of thousands of employees, only a few maybe. But for consumer applications, you might have millions of users. So we had to come up with a tenant system which could support users on the order of millions. And so we created this concept of a mega tenant. We also added the ability for Azure AD to authenticate users with Facebook, Google, Amazon, GitHub, RenRen, QQ, Weiwei, those are Chinese IDPs, and a few others, and we're adding more every single day, as well as local accounts using an email or a username and a password in your applications. We reuse the capabilities from Azure AD to allow users to authenticate with a password or with multi-factor authentication. And we also added a new set of identity flows, including sign up, password reset, profile management, email verification, and there are more coming every single day. And these set of features that we added to the Azure AD system really made it viable for developers to reach their entire audience. You interact with Azure AD B2C the same exact way that you interact with Azure AD by doing that federated login thing that I talked about earlier. You just send a request, get a token back, and all is good. We've essentially overloaded the OAuth request mechanism to do more than just sign in. We use it for things like sign up, reset password, et cetera, and I'll show exactly how that works. Azure AD B2C is also an identity management as a service offering. It's targeted at consumers. B2C stands for business to consumers, of course. Targeted mostly at consumer applications. It's also a multi-tenanted system where now a mega tenant represents your app's user base and every single user that uses your app rather than a set of employees. It's a service not for IT admins, but for developers by developers. It is a paid service. It's pay as you go. You pay per user and per authentication. So every user that you bring on, every time they log in, is an extra charge for you as a developer. But there is a free tier. I think the pricing has actually not been fully fleshed out yet, but last I heard, the free tier was going to expand to about 50,000 users. So for a lot of applications, Azure AD B2C is entirely free. And even when you go beyond 50,000 users, the analysis I've seen is fairly reasonable for most applications. So whether you're interacting with Azure AD B2C or Azure AD, interacting in your code is exactly the same. You use a suite of libraries known as ADAL or MSAL. ADAL stands for Active Directory Authentication Library, and we have ADAL support on pretty much every platform you can think of. You pull down this SDK into your code, you write to our APIs, and we handle the authentication for you. You can also use ADAL to talk to your backend services. We have a library. If you're using .NET, you'll probably use the middleware that's known as OWN to do the authentication on your service side. And that cloud doesn't have to be running on Azure. It can be running on Amazon Web Services, on the Google Cloud, on any of the great vendors we've seen out here this week. And so you can protect both your client and server with Active Directory. You can also interact between the two. Well, you do interact between the two using OAuth. So we support open standards, OpenID Connect, and OAuth. So if you want to write your own clients and not use ours to interact with our service, you can. It's not recommended at all. ADAL hides a lot of the complexity for you. Make sure that the app is secure. It's been vetted. It's been in market for quite a long time now. So we really recommend that you use our libraries. If you want to go off and do your own thing, you can. But if you miss a step or you forget to cover an edge case, that can have some pretty bad benefits in the security space. So we recommend using our libraries. They're pretty easy to use, we think. You can also use ADAL to talk directly to Microsoft services, including Office 365 and the Microsoft Graph, also using OAuth. And you can talk to those same services from your backends using ADAL as well. That's basically the architecture of how our SDKs fit into an application environment. We also have lots of SDKs for web apps, regardless of whatever language you like to use. So we have you covered, even if you're not building Xamarin applications, but this is basically how it breaks down for Xamarin. A quick look, or a sneak preview at ADAL and MSAL. MSAL is just a successor to ADAL. You can think of it as the new shiny thing. This is kind of what the API looks like. There's really only one method that you have to worry about. It's this acquire token method. It's been a pretty popular pattern that people have liked. Every single interaction that you have with Azure AD will result in a token or an error. So that's why we call it acquire token. And I'll show you some live code here in a second. The architecture of ADAL and MSAL with respect to Xamarin is pretty simple, actually. When you install ADAL or MSAL from NuGet, we install a portable class library onto your PCL in your applications. And we also install the PCL and a platform-specific assembly into your platform-specific projects. The PCL contains most of our core business logic, the core business logic of Active Directory. The platform-specific logic, of course, resides in the platform-specific assemblies. And we have a platform plugin which basically selects the right assembly on the device to pick up and use at runtime. The core business logic in the PCL really contains our OAuth protocol messages in interaction with Azure AD, token cache logic, our surface telemetry, lots of other stuff that I couldn't even assemble the whole list here. And the platform plugin is doing assembly loading only via reflection. So it basically just looks for the assembly that's been loaded in the application with the name Microsoft Identity Client Platform and pulls in the classes from that assembly based on what's available to it. The platform-specific logic is more interesting. For example, we have differences in web UI display on each device. So we have to, all of our login pages are just web pages that we serve on the mobile device, and we've made them responsive to look nice. So we have to be able to show a web UI on each device, and that's a little different in each case. Storing tokens and actually persisting tokens while the logic might be shared across each device, persisting them into some storage is different in each case. Cryptography, device auth, logging are all things that we handle specifically for each platform. For example, for token cache persistence, we use the keychain on iOS and we use shared preferences in Android. For web UI display, we use a view controller on iOS and we use an intent which opens up a web view client for Android. So you get the idea. All you really have to do to use ADAL and MSAL in a Xamarin application is pass this one parameter called iPlatform parameters, or that's the interface, but the hard object is platform parameters. You pass that from your platform-specific projects into our PCL. And basically all this is a handle for us to the top-level UI window. It allows us to create our own web UI on top of it, so we just need a handle to the activity or the view that's running at the top level here. And I'll show you what that looks like in actual code. We support the Unified API on iOS 10, Mono Android 10, and UWPs for Xamarin. We also support, if you're not building Xamarin, .NET 4.5, ASP.NET 4.5, and ASP.NET Core 1.0 if you want to play around with the new stuff. So we have pretty wide support in our .NET, ADAL, and MSALs. So the difference between ADAL and MSAL, real quick. ADAL has been around for about 3 years in market. Version 3.0 is GA-ing this week, actually. That's the one with all the Xamarin support, but it's been in preview for about a year, so you can feel comfortable sticking this thing in your production applications. I'm very confident in it. It supports Azure AD and ADFS directly, and it has over 700,000 downloads. It's seen a lot of great adoption over the past few years. MSAL is the new thing. It is largely forked from ADAL, and the big difference here is that it supports Azure AD, Microsoft Account, the consumer service I mentioned briefly, and Azure AD B2C. So if you want to interact with Azure AD B2C, this is the one you should go with. It has a refreshed API and protocol implementation. We took some feedback from developers and we made some things easier to do, changed the naming of our classes and some structure, did some refactoring, and we think it's a lot better. It's not quite at feature parity with ADAL. There's a lot of things you can do with ADAL and Active Directory that you can't quite do with MSAL, but we're getting there. Give us some time. A common question I get with Xamarin Developer is, why didn't we use Xamarin.auth? It's already a common programming pattern that people use in their Xamarin applications, so why not just create a provider there? We totally could have. We decided not to. The primary reason was that ADAL is, we like to think of it as a franchise, meaning that ADAL is the same whether you're building a Xamarin app, a native iOS app, a native Android app, a Python app, a Node.js, Ruby, .NET, whatever. And we wanted you to be able to take the skills that you have programming with ADAL and MSAL on one platform and apply them to the next one. So we really wanted to have control over that API surface. Another couple points. One, Xamarin Auth uses a couple different programming patterns that we didn't like so much. There's mostly a difference of opinion here. One's not really better than the other, per se. And we wanted to stick in some advanced library features. We do some pretty heavy stuff underneath the covers for advanced scenarios for enterprises in ADAL that wouldn't necessarily have made sense in Xamarin.auth. And then the other reason is that we wanted to leave something for the community to do. So nobody's taken me up on this offer yet, but maybe one of you will be inspired to build a Azure AD or Azure AD B2C Xamarin plugin for Xamarin.auth someday. So finally, thank you for humoring me on my slides. We can look at some code really quickly. Back to the Mac. All I've done here is, for the interest of time, I've created a new Xamarin Forms application. I just did file new, and you can see, the main app here. All I did was create one page that I set as my main page. We called it the login page, for lack of a better term. And we created at app runtime a public client application, which is basically the base class, or the main class, I should say, for MSAL when you're building on a native device. And I passed in here an identifier for my app. It's my client ID. If you're familiar with OAuth, you'll know what that is. But it's basically just an identifier for your app. Within the login page, I've added just a couple labels and a couple buttons, very, very boring stuff. We have a handler here for the login button on login clicked, and we can write that really quickly. So first thing we'll do is do a try catch block. And I've already downloaded ADAL from NuGet, I'm using MSAL in this case because this is going to be an Azure AD B2C implementation. I created that public client application in my app to begin with, so I can use that public client application to invoke Azure AD B2C. I'm going to end up getting an authentication result back in the end. So we can say app.pca public client application using that acquire token method that I hinted at before. And we're going to pass in a bunch of junk here as the parameters to this call. So first we're going to do an array of strings that is the scopes we need. You'll know what scopes are if you know OAuth. For this particular request. In this case, I just want a token for my own service. I'm not asking for a token to the Microsoft Graph or the Facebook Graph or anything like that, so I'm just going to use my client ID here as my scopes. We provide a login hint, which we don't need in this case. We provide a UI options for controlling how we want the UI to be displayed. We're just going to use the default here, and all of our samples and documentation show exactly what I'm doing here, so don't need to worry about keeping track of this. We don't need some of this extra behavior. But what we do need is a representation of which tenant we want to go against. So we do that using a parameter called the authority. So login.microsoftonline.com is our DNS name for Azure AD. And I need an identifier for my tenant. And my tenant is called fabricambtc.onmicrosoft.com. So I pass in that authority, letting MSAL know which tenant I want to go against. And then I pass in a very important parameter in B2C known as the policy. Here, my policy is going to be called B2C_1_SUSI, which stands for sign up or sign in. In B2C, the policy is really the secret sauce. You can pass in different identifiers for different policies and invoke different behaviors at the IDP. So in this case, sign up, sign in means the user will be able to either create a new account or sign in with an existing account. And I'll show you exactly what that looks like. So we make that one call to acquire token, and then I'm going to use the result to just display some interesting information about the user. So we can say display name text equals ar.user.name. We can say token.text equals ar.token. And I created a button for copying out the token. So we can say is visible equals true. And that should just about do it. In case the request fails, we can catch an MSAL exception. And I'll do something super simple and just say token.text equals AR dot, exception.message. We can set the display name.text to the empty string, and we can say token.text equals, we can set the copy button to invisible. All right, that's all the code I'm gonna write. So, and I forgot to, oh wait, was that what somebody was gonna correct me on? Thank you. It's an async method, so we await the method, and we should be able to build and run. I hope you guys will be able to see this. Can people in the back see the simulator all right? Yeah, okay, cool. So, of course, really boring UI, just three buttons and a couple hidden displays here. I'll click login, and I'm presented with the Azure AD B2C login screen. I've configured that B2C underscore one underscore sign up sign in policy to have four different social IDPs, Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, and Amazon. And then also you can sign up here using this link or sign in with an existing email address and password. I'm gonna choose Google in this case. I'll sign in with my Google account. And I have to do multi-factor authentication. So this is actually, I was gonna leave this out of the demo, but I thought it was interesting. The security settings enforced by the IDP that you choose are still active, so that's another benefit that you get with Azure AD B2C. If I can pull up my app here. So I log in with my my Google account, and it recognized that this account didn't already exist in our system, so it's asking me for a couple properties about myself, and this is also something I've configured in the policy. So my job title is I want to be product manager, so I'm going to put that in there. I misspelled the word jersey, but this is just to point out that you could put in whatever you want here. Jersey number is 9, and my city is San Diego. So I'll continue, and now I've signed up in the Azure AD B2C system, and the app receives back some information about the user and a token that represents that the successful authentication occurred. I can copy out this token, and we'll stick it into a token decoder here, and we can take a look at what's inside. I'm not sure you'll be able to see that, but basically just a bunch of information about the authentication that occurred, including when the token is valid for, what tenant issued the token, what policy was used, a bunch of identifiers for the user, and then some information, my name, my title, my jersey number, my city, so on and so forth. So that's basically how Azure AD B2C works. And I won't, in the interest of time, I won't show the rest of the functionality of our sample app here, but I'll show you the code real quick. We have another button that's on edit profile. I'll show it, it's okay. So if we click edit profile here, we make the same exact call, this acquire token async call, same exact parameters. We just pass in a slightly different policy here, B2C underscore one underscore edit profile. And I hit an error, so that's why I shouldn't have gone that route. I'm not sure what that is. Huh. Anyway, so you change the policy parameter, you can invoke a different experience. What was supposed to have happened there is that you don't have to log in because you already did it and the credentials are stored, but you can go and edit your profile, change the jersey number, change the city, and edit the user's profile and receive back the same exact token with updated information in that in the claims of the token like I showed here. So You can edit and you'll receive back new information right here in the claims. And then lastly, we have a logout method, which is essentially as simple as clearing a token cache. Using MSAL, we stick tokens in the shared preferences in the keychain, and that maintains the session for you in your application, so you don't have to keep track of the user session. When you're ready to log them out, you just call tokencache.clear. When you want to check if the user has an existing session, you just say acquire token, and we'll check the cache for you to see if the user is already there. So that's B2C in a Xamarin Forms application. I glossed over one minor detail, which was how we do that platform parameters thing. Real quickly, I created this login page render that you have to do on each of your platform-specific projects. This is the iOS one. Basically, all it does is when the page loads, we set this platform parameters property to a newest instantiation of our MSAL platform parameters class, passing in the view as the one parameter. So this is that handle to the top-level UI window that I was discussing earlier. That's really the only complicated thing that you have to do with Xamarin, and that's only specific to Xamarin Forms as well. So let me switch back. We have a couple minutes remaining. That's Azure AD B2C. For me, Azure AD B2C and Xamarin are a match made in absolute heaven. A lot of the same benefits that you get, the reasons you would use Xamarin apply to why you would use Azure AD B2C. It helps you get your apps into production even faster by eliminating the need for you to write a bunch of identity-related code. You can just use our SDK, write your authentication and your authorization code in a day, and you'll be done, and on to writing the actual functionality of your apps. You get to use familiar interfaces, whereas in Xamarin, you might be happy to use Xamarin because you know C# and you know .NET. In B2C, you might be happy to use B2C because you know OAuth and you're familiar with how to do authentication requests, and you don't have to worry about collecting passwords, doing user management, resetting users' passwords, and so on. We have support right now for the basic identity flows. I've kind of beat that to death. The B2C system is really extensible. We have this policy engine underneath the covers that is the secret sauce of B2C. And so we can extend that and take in feature requests from you folks on new flows and new experiences you'd like to see and really quickly whip out new behaviors in the STS or in the IDP that you want to see. And then in addition, we have a fully customizable UI in Azure AD B2C. That's not the case in Azure AD. We have an HTML interface, basically just a simple API that you use that's just writing your own HTML and CSS. And we'll host the pages for you, but they can look like you want them to. So in this demo, I showed the default UI, which is admittedly terrible. But this is my favorite example of somebody that's using Azure AD B2C. I'm a soccer player. This is the Real Madrid app. It was number one in the App Store for 2 weeks when it came out, and they use Azure AD B2C for their iOS, their Android, and their web applications. The first screen is the Google Play Store. That's not customizable. But the second and fourth screens here are actually hosted by Azure AD B2C, and you would never know the difference. They customize this to look how they wanted it. It looks like the same experience of their application. And then they even customized the email verification form here. This is just me replying to or receiving the email from Azure AD B2C, and it looks like Real Madrid. You wouldn't know Microsoft is involved whatsoever. So you can customize these experiences to look exactly how you want them to in your applications. So those are the Microsoft Identity Services. Azure Active Directory for business apps, free for developers. For people that I want targeting organizations primarily and Office 365 users, I briefly touched on Microsoft Account or Live ID as a consumer service, also free for developers to use. And then Azure AD B2C, which is a preview service, hopefully going to GA this summer, that is a pay-as-you-go service with a free tier. We're very serious at Microsoft about developers, and we're very serious about identity and security. And you don't have to look much further than our acquisition history, Xamarin included here. In the past year, 2 years, we've acquired a number of companies that help developers do their job better and help them do it more securely. Adalom, Air Auto, and Secure Islands all being examples of security acquisitions in the last year. So we're very serious about it, and successful developers are very serious about identity as well. This is a sentiment that the Box.com developers shared with me. If our users can't sign in and access their files at a stoplight, we'll lose them to Dropbox. So I want you guys to be able to hold yourselves to the same high standard that Box.com and other successful developers do, and we want to help you do it with Azure AD and Azure AD B2C. Thank you very much, and thanks for joining today.